It's always a blessing to be able to stand before you and stand in and fill in when I can for Jeff's absence or Brother Ray, and we have both of them out today. But I've often said how humbling it is because I know the level of spiritual maturity that's in this audience today. And so I am I'm going to lean on that for the lesson this morning. Should I say or bring up a perspective that is not properly aligned and you have questions about the content, please make sure bring that to my attention so that I can follow through and make any necessary corrections. So today's topic, as those of you who had the opportunity to sit in to the Bible class knows, it is God's will for motivation. I am often perplexed with what kind of lesson can I bring to an audience like this? And mulling it around in my head, I was actually getting my hair done. Yeah, all of this. This ain't easy. And the hairstylist, I thought, I'm going to talk to her because this is on my mind. So I'm going to ask her, so, you know, I got to do this lesson at church. And, you know, those people are pretty savvy, scripturally speaking. They know the word. But I'm just curious, what do you think is a topic that would be a benefit given the state of our world today? And she said to me, well, I don't know, I think motivation. I said, really, why is that? So we're having this dialogue, you know, head in the shampoo bowl. I said, why is that? She goes, well, since COVID, can't seem to get anybody to work. I said, oh, tell me more. Yeah, and you know, and I just decided to go ahead and to, you know, pursue this, you know, I'm working on my license, and she's giving me all this detail, and then I thought, well, that's very appropriate, that's very well aligned, and I thought about some of the things in my life that's a challenge, and it seemed to be a really good topic, a very timely topic. And, oh, as an aside, and before I get too far down this topic, again, happy Mother's Day to our mothers in the audience. I almost forgot that for my, this will not be a Mother's Day lesson. You've taught enough lessons, so we're not going to teach you that today. So I can give you a Mother's Day lesson pass today. So, but we do appreciate our mothers, and it's worth mentioning, especially in our time today when mothers and women in general are not appreciated. And, you know, there's an assault on women. There's an assault on mothers in the role that plays in our society today. So I don't think, well, I certainly would be remiss if I did not acknowledge how important women and mothers in particular are to our society's hopeful alignment. And so, again, thank you, mothers out there, for all that you do. All right, so motivation. There's a definition, obviously, for motivation. What is motivation? It's a noun. Motivation, plural noun, motivations. Origin is motive, the reason or reasons, and I like to break this down both for motive and motivation. Because motive is then the reason or the reasons for acting or behaving in a particular way. That is your incentives, stimulation, inspiration. Motivation is the general desire or willingness of someone to do something. Thusly, the term motivation kind of describes why a person does something. It is the driving force behind human actions. Motivation is the process that initiates, guides, and maintains goal-oriented behaviors. So, for instance, motivation is what helps you to lose extra weight. Motivation might help you push toward a promotion at work. And we talked this morning about how motivation, properly aligned, might even provoke you to become a Christian. So It's a necessary and very necessary topic, I believe, for us to embrace as we kind of go down this path this morning. What are some of the problems with motivation? I've listed some here. Now, this isn't the whole of it, of course. I can speak, you know, personally, you know, about some of these things. I mean, I could bring them all in on any one thing, really. Take that run I had to do, that 5K. I was supposed to practice for that. I was supposed to, like, acclimate my body and get it ready for that run. But I didn't want to. Something about, I don't know if it was, you know, prolonged eating season or just overall, you know, work and all that I had to do. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't practice for this run. The problem with motivation isn't unique. Abundant choices. You know, if you can get a little overwhelmed, spiritually speaking, you can get a little overwhelmed. Some people don't make a church, make a decision about where to worship and what to do spiritually because there's so many churches out there. Which one's right? How do I know? And it just, analysis paralysis sets in and you just don't make a decision. An abundance of choices. Feeling overwhelmed can be a problem getting you motivated. A fear of failure. We talked a little bit about this in Bible class. For those who are maybe driven by perfectionism, fear of failure, don't want to make a mistake. Fear of success. These are those who are driven by a lack of confidence. Those who are driven by a lack of confidence. Lack of clarity, of course, then is driven by a lack of knowledge. And the need to know all that you think you need to know before you can make a move. That'll be a reason why motivation is stymied in some people. A lack of knowledge brings about a lack of clarity. Exhaustion. Take, again, my little bit of a run I did. I was just tired. I worked and I was just exhausted. I think this is a well-known mantra of any mothers out there. Just, I'm done. I'm tired. And you just want to get somewhere and sit down. Don't bother me. Exhaustion can be a reason why your motivation is hindered. And it comes just driven by a lack of self-care. You're not sleeping well. You're not taking care of yourself. You're not eating well. You're not exercising. All of that can bring about the kind of exhaustion that keeps you from being motivated to do whatever it is you might need to do. Comparison. Now, this is usually driven by jealousy and envy, but it also is a way to keep you from being motivated to do what you need to do. Excuses. Yeah. Usually driven by negativity, and there's a lot of it out there. You get those who are striving for success, and it might be right there in your lap. But for negativity, you self-sabotage. You don't believe that this is your shoe. You don't believe that this is your plight. You don't see your own success. It can keep you from being motivated. Drudgery. Of course, that can be driven by boredom, complacency, and maybe even the complexity of whatever that goal is or task is to do. So then drudgery can be a problem with getting you motivated. Patience. That's driven by instant gratification. We want it now. Well, spiritual maturity takes time. Are you going to be patient enough to see it through? That's just a sidebar for spiritual maturity and nurturing that. But patience certainly can be a hindrance to your motivation. And, of course, distractions. That's in our day and age, that's driven by the ease of social and digital engagement. I had to, at one point, I signed up for TikTok. I was like, oh, TikTok, that's pretty cool. That's trending. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. Put that app on my phone. I was on TikTok, and they had TikTok shorts. And you just go down the line, and it's just one little thing, one little snip after the other. And you just keep going. I looked up. 4 hours later, I said, what is this about? Okay, that's crazy. That was crazy. So the next day, TikTok. My brother sends me a link. I look at it. Cracking up puppies, cats. 3:30 in the morning. I have to be at work at 7. I said, well, okay, what we're not going to do is TikTok. This is not value added in my life. I've got to stop this. This is crazy. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown man. I have things to do, but TikTok for 4 or 5 hours. I could not believe it. I had to take the app off my phone. I said, don't call me. Don't talk to me. And I said, my brother, stop sending me TikTok links. No, 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 no. It was a distraction. Hilarious distraction. Crazy. The stuff, and it goes on really fast. But it was a problem getting me motivated at 7 o'clock to be on time. I couldn't get, work was hindered, right? So, how important is motive? Let's break it down. We talk motive, we talk motivation, and I'm going to be cognizant of time. One of the advantages of today is if I don't get this lesson completed this morning, I can wrap it up tonight. Because I think I also have to teach this evening. So, you will get out of here on time today. That's free. I won't even charge you for that. And it's not your moment to laugh that hard at that joke, but that's okay. How important is motive to God? Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 14, it reads, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. What's interesting about this scripture is be diligent. Okay, that's motivation. But the question here is, how important is motive to God? How important is motive to God? And if I just reach back, make sure and keep my headspace correct here. Motive is the reason or the reasons one has for acting or behaving in a particular way, your incentive, your stimulation, your inspiration. So if this scripture is telling us here to be diligent and be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace, now we get to motive. So it's not just to be motivated, okay? But your intent, your reason has to be pure. That's that inner peace that you can attain from having integrity behind your motivation. Because one can have motivation, right? Or zeal, and not be properly aligned with God. God would have your motivation be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2 through 3. And that reads, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. How important is motive to God? This scripture reminds us to do a heart check. We talked a little bit about this in Bible class, and we're to be reminded that we are not vindicated by our own conscience, but by the judgment of God. What does that mean? It means that the integrity of your motive has to be aligned with God's will. Not just your good feel. Oh, I feel good about this. I'm feeling it, okay? Is it aligned with God's will for you, for others, the thing that you are seeking to pursue? What is your motive? Because even here the scripture teaches us that to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So he's concerned about the integrity of your intent. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22. Here we read of Paul's account. And he says in verse 22 through 23, it says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. And I think I shortchanged you there. Verse 22 to go up. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. And then the intent. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Paul's motive was clear. For the sake of the gospel, he made himself approachable and relatable to all people. His intent was clear. His motive was aligned with God's will. Jeremiah chapter 14. And verses 11 through 12. The Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. Well, let's stop right there. This scripture just said that the Lord said to him, that being Jeremiah, do not pray for the welfare of this people. What kind of God is this? Does that make sense? Just reading that scripture, that verse, that sentence alone will make people go, wait, what? That's what we're supposed to pray for everybody. And pray all the time. What is this about? Look at verse 12. It says, though they fast, I will not hear their cry. And though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. But moreover, I will consume them by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Why? Why? Jeremiah 14, 11 through 12 reminds us of how important motive is to God. I love that the pews are getting filled. And more we are seeing more people coming back, especially after COVID and what that looked like. I would love nothing more than to have every pew filled. I honestly kind of look forward to seeing new and familiar faces. But if your motive is to show face and not acting out of obedience toward God, then understand this. God knows. God knows your heart. And he requires integrity behind your obedience. You're not doing me any favors showing up here to be approved by my eyes. I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in, and neither does any of the members here. But God does. There needs to be integrity behind your assembly. You need to want to be here and serve God in doing it. God is concerned about our motives. Less fasting is enough. Less praying is enough. Less burnt offerings. Less the Lord's Supper. Less giving. Less praying. Less singing is enough. God is concerned about the integrity of our motives, our intent. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Our motive for being here is to consider how to stir up or to motivate one another to love and good works. So let me ask you a question. When you're here, how are you doing that? When you are here, how are you doing that? We found out in Bible class, it's not something you have to overthink. Your example, feedback you offer in Bible class, scriptures you read together, and explaining those things certainly stirred me up today, and I brought the Bible class. I was educated. I was inspired by your feedback, by the example of your life that you're pursuing in Christianity. That's not to be taken for granted when we assemble. That's what it does. It stirs us up. It lets you know, I'm not crazy. This Christian thing is a pretty good gig. When you hear it audible, you hear it articulated through life experiences, and your pursuit of Christianity just makes sense. Because if you're going to wait to hear it on the news, you're going to be waiting a long time. If you're going to wait to hear it encouraged or talked about, well, back in my day, we did at least used to pray in school. You're not getting that anymore. If you're waiting to hear it outside of these four walls and outside of your home, you're going to be waiting a long time. It's so encouraging to be here and hear people that don't look like me, don't talk like me, say and think and pursue their lives in a way that makes complete sense to me. And that's what Christianity does. God is concerned about your motives. God is concerned that you come here to stir each other up toward love and good works. Now, does our motivation, we looked at motive, let's look at motivation. Does our motivation matter to God? Does our motivation matter to God? Well, again, if you were in this Bible class this morning, you could see how important motivation is to God. This is a thing. This is a reality that moves you and defines your being. So, I wanted to put some book, chapter, verse behind this question. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. And verse 23. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 through 24. It says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. From wives to husbands to fathers and children, motivation matters to God. It matters so much that this is broken down in even more detail around those roles and what that ought to look like. Not the kind of dad you want it to be. Not the kind of wife you want to be. Not the kind of child you want. Not the kind of parents you wish you had. The Bible tells us the kind of fathers we ought to be. The kind of mothers, wives, children. And we ought to be motivated to pursue that life according to what matters to God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Does our motivation matter to God? Does he care about what motivates us? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Whether he is a slave or free, masters do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. The Bible teaches us to serve willingly, as if we were serving the Lord. And all of our roles as mothers, our roles as fathers, our roles as children, our roles as co-workers. Yeah, even with that boss. Yeah. It is the only way that we can aspire for a proper attitude when we're motivated to serve God in our doing, in our being. Now, we're all familiar with the verse John 3:16. Before we go there, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Getting a little ahead of my notes here. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. I love all the scriptures, but there's something unique about the Old Testament scriptures that kind of uniquely articulates the nature of God and his dynamic and interaction with man. And what that kind of, the beginnings of that looks like. But here we can read in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." God would have us to serve him willingly. When your heart and your soul is into something, you ever have your heart and soul into something? Think about that. Outside of just, you know, the spiritual agenda that we're on today. Think about something you have your heart and your soul into. Think about it. Just think about it right now to yourself. Think about how much time and effort you put into that. And it's not an option. You schedule time around it. You nurture it. You look at it. You nurse it. You make sure it's well. I have seen myself do this with plants. I love plants. I'm a plant parent, I can boast. And I put the seed in. I water it. I check the lighting. I rotate it. Oh, it's not a good lighting. Put it in another area. Then it starts to grow. Get another pot for it. Looking for it. Thinking about its personality. Oh, that's going to have this color. Needs this kind of pot. Should it be self-watering? No, maybe terracotta is better. Now, you have such passions for things. It's not a heavy lift to think about it in several different ways, different facets. God would have you have the same passion and willingness to serve Him. Your heart is in it. Your soul is in it. It means a lot to you. It's like water. You have to do it. You have to drink it. You have to be a part of it. Our motivation matters to God. Now, we're all, as I was mentioning before, we're all familiar with John chapter 3, verse 16. And so if you'll turn, we're going to be working from that context for this next point. God wants us to be motivated to come to the light and do what is true. Look at John chapter 3, though. We're familiar with His provisions for us in 3:16. That He gave His only begotten Son. And whoever believes in Him, life everlasting. But look at verse 19. It says, and this is the judgment. Again, our motivation matters to God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true, comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Reading down in this verse, we learn more about God's expectations surrounding our motivation. God wants us to be motivated to come to the light and do what is true. And it makes sense, right? He didn't give His Son as a sacrifice for us to be motivated toward darkness. He gave His Son for us to be motivated to pursue that which is true. So when darkness rears its head and provokes you to be motivated to live and or your life in that vein, that's an affront to the greatest sacrifice known to mankind. That is telling God, I didn't ask for Jesus to die for me. I'm going to do my own thing. You know, there's some kids that have that kind of attitude toward their parents. I didn't ask to be born in this family. Can you imagine that? But they do it. Such a callous attitude toward provision. That's what we have to watch in our humanity and be careful about in our humanity. That we don't insult God's provision for us. When we take the Lord's Supper, we're reminded with humility how much we needed that provision. So pursue what is true. Be motivated to pursue what is true. Don't get tired of looking for the truth. Because that is our reasonable sacrifice to God. Be motivated to pursue the light. Be motivated to do what is true. Our motivation matters to God. So, I think, while time looks good, it can look even better if I stop now. I won't look down because then I'll see your face when you smiled a little. This evening, I'd like to talk about modifying, as part two to this, modifying motivation. We've identified that motive matters to God, meaning your intent, your reasons for what you do. Then we talked about motivation and how that matters to God. This evening, now that we've level set with those two perspectives from God, we're going to examine our own motivation and whether or not that needs to be modified based on those things we just discussed. We'll talk a little bit about more of that this evening. This is a very important topic because it takes motivation for us to live our life, to make our lives worth something, even to us, right? Let alone what God would have it to be. It takes motivation to do that. And you have seen in these times people who have no motivation whatsoever. God's people can't be that way. He did too much for us to not care about our lives. He did too much to provide for us to insult his creation with a careless attitude about its outcome. So I hope this lesson helped you to understand if you are thinking about having a relationship with God, pursue the light and do what is true. That is what we've been called to do as the creation made out of the image of God. There's a whole world out there that would have you pursue otherwise. Right now, they're already assaulting truth. There's no such thing as absolute truth outside of these four walls, and you walk out of here today, you will interact with people that says, no, no, there's no such thing as man and woman, basic principles. Those are like primary colors, right? Now, no, no. And that's, you can go to work, have a problem with that. I never thought I'd see the day. And I'm not that old. And I'm looking at the news and I'm listening to people talk and I was like, what is happening? Where are we? That simple truth has been disbanded. It's like saying 1 + 2 = 5. It's not even logical. Makes no sense at all. But that's what we're up against when we think about, okay, motivation. Motive? Which way are you going to go? Which way are you going to go? In pursuing the truth, pursuing the light, that's what you get here. That's what God wants for us when we think about our motivations, when we think about our motives. So I hope this lesson will help to remind you that it matters to God what moves your being. Because that's the only way, really, that you can get from where you are to where you need to be. And you can rest assured, as part of his creation, where you need to be needs to be aligned with God's will. It is just as simple as that. It is just as simple as that. If there's any other requests or needs in the audience, please feel free to come forward as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.